Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen, back to our regular scheduled time. Last week we had to kind of move it around due to constraints on Thursday, but it is the Black and Gold Pittsburgh podcast, hosted by yours truly, Mark Mancini and Ralph Williams, 347-205-9631. Show goes by quick. I see about 58 of you up there. We'll get your questions and everything as we go along in 30 minutes. Catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, driven by Mancini Media. And just to let you know, guys, tomorrow we'll have the Pittsburgh Pirates podcast, Tarek Brock, live at 10 o'clock Pittsburgh time. We'll discuss the Arizona Diamondbacks coming to town for a three-game series, also recapping the sweep in Hollywood that the Pirates put on the Dodgers. And right after that, don't want to miss it, 11 o'clock Pittsburgh time, doing a one-on-one interview with Mike Lavalle, former Pittsburgh Pirate catcher. So live from Florida down there. He'll be coming on. We'll talk about the past and present Bucks as well as Major League Baseball. So put them on your calendar tomorrow, 10 o'clock with the Pirate Podcast, 8 o'clock in the morning my time, 11 o'clock your time in Pittsburgh. It'll be Mike Lavalle. So that'll be two things you don't want to miss. As I lay the red carpet down, put the podium in its place, and give off the mic to you, Ralph. First of all, how are you? Second of all, how can people get a hold of you? And third of all, smoking Jim Frazier's back, and that's always a good thing.
Thank you, Mark.
Yeah, he's back. We just got done doing our TV show, so we're back again. You can get a hold of me, RalphWilliams737@gmail.com. And on my Facebook page, Ralph Williams, and my YouTube channel as well, where I have my Sports Corner and The Way I See It shows and Mahler Talk on there as well. Also, our sponsor is DJ Fun. If you are living in the greater Pittsburgh area and you need a DJ for a party or a special event or a wedding, call DJ Fun today, 412-545-4317. You must call today. Dates are booking up fast, so please call today and get your and book DJ Fun. Over 10 years of experience in doing DJ work with parties, weddings, special events. Don't forget, 412-545-4317.
Well, and as you give it over to Smoking Jim, how can you be reached before we get into these topics?
I tell you what, they can reach out to my new Facebook friend, Mark Mancini, my best friend Claudio Relsano or Ralph Williams to get my number, or you can go on Instagram at Smoking Jim Frazier or Facebook at Jim Frazier.
Well, I'll tell you, I want to get into the Pirates, and we're getting comments coming all over, and I'll bring them to the forefront here. Covered the game Sunday in San Diego as Grisham hit a two-run shot to start on the Pirates. With a little luck, could have swept that three-game series there. Came to L.A., covered them yesterday against the Dodgers. And when I look at this Dodgers series, you got a $10 million payroll. Everybody laughing at the Pittsburgh Pirates against a $500, $600 million payroll with the Los Angeles Dodgers. David did slay Goliath. The Dodgers had beaten the Pirates 22 of 24 games they played them. But this year, the Pirates made it a point to get this albatross off their neck. They stopped the 16-game losing streak in Pittsburgh to start that a few weeks ago, beating the Dodgers 2 out of 3, coming to L.A. and winning a game for the first time since 2016, sweeping them yesterday, the first time since 2000. The Dodgers haven't been swept since 2018 against the Cardinals. They almost got swept against the Phillies a few weeks ago, but Gavin Lux came off the bench and hit a triple to win that game to stop that thing. So I'll tell you one thing, and I'll start it out with you, Ralph. I'll bring it over to Smoking Jim because we're going to roll this one for a little bit. These Pirates are resilient, 22 and 27, 4 and 2 on the road trip. They've played the Padres tough the last couple years, and the Dodgers, they kind of flipped the script, going 0-6 with them last year, 5-1 this year. This is a team that I've seen them so much this year from afar, and you're right there in their backwoods. This is a team that the Cubs bounced them 21-0. They came back and didn't shed a tear and beat them that Sunday and won 3 out of 4 in that series. They are resilient. If you beat them like the Dodgers did in the second game of the year, I think they in Pittsburgh, they beat them 11-1. The Pirates came right back the next day. They just kick up their bootstraps and just move forward. These guys are unbelievable to watch. And, you know, they'll keep you on the edge of the seat. I'll give you that, guys. But I will tell you this. They're fun to watch with the rookies in that lineup, 4 rookies. And the way Shelton has that Shelton 5 going where he looks for the pitcher to go 5 innings and then turn it over to the bullpen. Ralph, it's going to be an exciting year for the Pirates. I said it from the start that they would make the playoffs. People thought I was a drunk. People thought I was smoking something. I can care less. I'm sticking with that thought. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with you, Mark. I think that they're a better team this year. They're really scrapping hard in every game. I try to explain to some of our media colleagues here that, the Pirates are for real. And, still there's still that bitter taste in everybody's mouth, Mark. Nobody around here believes anything, right now. They don't trust Bob Nutting, the owner. They're still going on and on about stuff that happened in the past. See, one thing about Pittsburgh, Mark, that you have to understand, and I know you were born here, raised in California there, but and I know you haven't been here in a while, but Pittsburgh people hold a grudge. They don't let it go. And I keep telling them about the management base, Travis Williams and Ben Sherrington, and nobody believes me. Everybody thinks I'm drinking the wrong Kool-Aid or something. And, but I think they're going to surprise some people this year. I really do. I think they're going to be, they're going to compete. I don't think they're going to be make it in the playoffs. I think they'll be in third place maybe, with some breaks. If they quit losing to Cincinnati and, the teams that they should beat, and I said this last show, they need to start winning the games against the sad teams to make up for the ones. They always lose to the Cardinals. They always lose to Milwaukee. They have to beat these sad teams like Cincinnati and some of in Arizona and some of these other ones, because if they don't, they're going to lose out when they lose those games to the Cardinals and Milwaukee Brewers.
Great way to segue right into what Jim will come up with next with his thoughts. And you're absolutely right. That confidence level now coming back from the West Coast, home to Pittsburgh, the off day, relaxing, getting the bearings set for that Eastern time zone, going 4-2 on that trip. You can't let your guard down. You got to look at Arizona like they're the Dodgers, too, or they're the Yankees or teams like that. If you take your foot off the gas and don't rise to the level of Arizona coming in for 3 and Detroit coming in for 2, then you go right back on the road next week, 4 in Atlanta. You got 3 with the Cardinals, and then you got the Giants coming back into town and playing the Cubs. So you got to start focusing in at what's at hand, and you got to look at these teams like they're the Dodgers. Now, you played 3 great games against the Dodgers. Before that, you had the Padres almost beat. A play here or there could have turned that series around. So, Jim, as the question comes to you, at 22-27, 5 games under .500, sitting firmly in third place, 1.5 ahead of the Cubs, 5 ahead of the Reds, but looking up at the Cardinals and the Brewers, what's your take on this 5-game homestand?
Well, I tell you what, Mark, a little over a month ago, you got me real excited about these young Pirates. I've been, really tuning in and focused in ever since. And I tell you what, the enthusiasm in southwestern Pennsylvania is real, real high right now. Beating the Dodgers like that, the Dodgers' best team in baseball, most talented team in baseball in a long, long time. But I got mixed feelings a little bit, Mark, to be honest with you, because Cole Tucker got DFA'd by the Pirates, former first-round pick in 2014. He just can't seem to hit major league pitching. They sent him down to the minor leagues, and they discovered he couldn't hit triple-A pitching. And the fact that he can hit is the reason why the Pirates DFA'd him. And I tell you what, man, if you can't bat your weight You're not going to last long in Major League Baseball. So I'm a little sad about Cole Tucker getting sent down.
Well, we got Bo coming in. He said, not unless the Colby Stargell and Cobra are coming back, you don't have a chance. Carlos says, I got five on whatever you're smoking, bro. So people are coming in here now, and they're laying the smackdown, but they don't want to face the music that we just kicked your ass in your backyard. I mean, that's the bottom line.
Exactly.
It's scoreboard. And whether you want to face the music or not, you know, you guys got beat. You got the biggest payroll in baseball along with the Yankees. And if the Yankees, when they come into Pittsburgh July 5th and 6th and we roll them back to New York, then basically we did what we wanted to accomplish and we'll just keep on going. Now, I know the ultimate goal is the World Series. I'm not saying we're going to win a World Series, but, hey, listen, we're playing on house money. And I've said that before on quite a few shows that the Pirates, everybody's not figuring them to do anything. They figure they're going to, you know, just roll by. And I know attendance in Pittsburgh is the second worst in baseball behind the Oakland A's. I know people have been laughing at the Pirates left and right, but that's okay. When you match up our stadium, it's probably the best in baseball, and we're 2 years probably removed from really being a World Series contender. When these guys start to get the experience and expertise, watch out, because they're going to be a dangerous squad. It's fun to watch these guys. Two of them are up from Altoona, Double A. Sawinski came up from Double A. You're basically seeing. I think it's Tukaipa. Is another one that came up, Mercado, that came up from Double A. So these guys are starting to get their feet wet, gaining confidence. I'm waiting for Yu Chang to get involved in this thing here, get some hitting. But you're starting to see Castro. You're starting to see Reynolds start to go now. The pitching is unbelievable with Thompson. Keller feels like he can contribute more now. Quintana, Brubaker tomorrow. I'm telling you, Ralph, as I give it back over to you, I don't know what L.A.'s in uproar. They better worry about the Mets. They can't stand here and say, well, we didn't take the Pirates serious or whatever. This is a major league team, buddy. Regardless of what they are, they're a major league team. And I will tell you this, case in point memo to the National League West, Pittsburgh is 9-3 against the National League West this year, and they haven't faced Arizona, which they'll face tomorrow, and they haven't faced San Francisco yet.
Well, back in the day, when Jim Leland was manager and some of these other managers that we had that were real good. You want to know how the Pirates ended up winning or having the most win percentage? They beat all the West Coast teams. Every time they went on a West Coast trip, they had success. So they're starting to do that again now. And, you know, it's great to have success on the West Coast because, like I said, we seem to have issues with the Cardinals and with Milwaukee. We have to win the games that we can win. Because we always seem to lose to them, and don't seem to be we can't seem to be able to beat them. Milwaukee always has our number, and so does the Cardinals. Maybe things will change, being that we have this new winning attitude and this new keep the foot on the gas pedal, and they have to beat the Cincinnati's of the world, and things like that. And you know, so that's what the Pirates have to do. And I feel bad for Cole Tucker. You know, I mean, he just simply, as Jim mentioned, just couldn't hit any kind of hitting at all. You know, even if he tried to play stickball with Rocky Balboa, he couldn't even hit. So, I mean, you know, it's bad. It's sad about Cole Tucker.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is, you know. So,
well,
you know.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, I think he was the one that was dating an actress or something. If I'm not mistaken,
yeah,
he the
was,
one that was
is yeah, yeah he was
something like
yeah.
that. And I don't want to use that as an excuse here or anything, but sometimes the game of baseball, you know, it'll hit you back sometimes, and you got to have full focus on it. And you know, I don't want to say you know somebody's not focusing or nothing. It's sad, but you know, what have you done for me lately? The Pirates are serious about contending. You know, there was a stretch there for, you know, the 80s to, you know, 2006-13, I think. Well, they only made the playoffs like five times or something, but, you know, then they haven't made the playoffs in 6 years right now. So this is a team that's tired of the talk, and they want to look up at the Brewers and the Cardinals And you're right. You started it out right by saying you got to put the Cubs, you got to put the Reds, you got to put these bottom feeders in their place. Now, I know the National League Central, everybody can get used to everybody, and it's, you know, it's like a heavyweight fight, Frazier and Muhammad Ali, but you got to put these teams that are below you away and then start playing the teams that are above you, play them like you played the Dodgers and Padres. That should be the blueprint moving forward. Jim, as we wrap this up, any final take on the Pirates?
Well, I tell you what, I am so excited about our pitching. When the bats catch up to the pitching, Pirates is going to be a playoff team, like you said. We got a guy, Rosie Contreras. I tell you what, this guy throws in the high 90s. He got a lot of good stuff. You know, velocity matters, but it's also control is very important. But here's something you can help me out with, Mark. Could this be the year that Joe DiMaggio?
Hey, there's always a team that comes out of nowhere. Right. And a few years ago, nobody figured the Miami Marlins could rule what they ruled, and they got in the playoffs. They came up short with Atlanta. But, you know, let me tell you, and then last year nobody had the Braves on the radar. So there's always a team that comes out of nowhere, and, you know, why can't it be the Pittsburgh Pirates? And, you know, can you imagine this? I'm sitting there yesterday, I'm saying to myself, if anybody said, and you know, we are optimistic about our team, but can you imagine if you just said to somebody, hey, you know what, I'll bet you a dinner we win the series. A Dodger fan probably would have stepped up to the plate and said, no way in hell, I'll put four dinners on it. Can you imagine if you put money in Vegas on the Dodgers getting swept by the Pirates? You would have made a fortune. That would have been an 80-1 horse coming out of Hollywood Park or something. But, man, oh, man, I'm excited the way this team is going and everything. And Ralph and Jim, with your insight, expertise, knowledge right there, I know, Ralph, you'll be there Saturday when the Diamondbacks – play the second of three. Jim, I know you're always around there and everything, but as we segue, as this show keeps picking up steam, man, I can't keep up with it. Danny now saying, enjoy it while you can, boys. Good luck with that. And, yeah, well, we'll enjoy it while we can. We'll enjoy it till the next time we play your Dodgers and beat them again.
Hey, Mark, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Hey, Mark, can I ask you a question,
yes,
buddy? Could this be the year that Joe DiMaggio's 56-game hitting streak goes down? Your boy Trey Turner for the L.A. Dodgers' 24-game hitting streak. And Paul Goldschmidt from St. Louis Cardinals' 22-game hitting streak, and he's hitting batting .445.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. The last guy that was close to really doing some damage with that, and I believe it was 44, Pete Rose.
Pete Rose, yeah.
Pete Rose is the one that had that one. It's going to get tougher as it gets going, but, yeah, them pitchers, we'll find out if the Mets can, you know, curtail this, but Trey Turner's a hell of a ball player. That top three of the Dodger lineup, Betts, Freeman, and Turner have been doing wonders. Take those guys out of the way. We might be looking at the Dodgers as bottom feeders. Who knows? But as we segue into this topic, Ralph and Jim, what the hell is going on with the Pittsburgh Maulers, 1-6? Come on, man. You had a chance to beat the Birmingham Stallions, stop that undefeated streak. They played them tough in the first half, and then they kind of fell and read their press clippings or something. Or maybe they got too many pats on the back, but then they finally came up losing it, I believe, 26-16. I don't know. You cover them. You understand what's going on with that team. What's going on with this team, Ralph?
Well, what's going on is this is their head coach. I mean, he benched a quarterback, Thad Lee, 1:42 left in the fourth quarter. When he needed him, you know, an opportunity, they were only down 23-16. They had an opportunity to score a touchdown. He goes and he puts Roland Rivers III in, who is from Slippery Rock, which, you know, fine. He's from Slippery Rock. That's great. But here's a guy that is as big as Ben Roethlisberger. He was only in camp on the team for a week, and you're going to go and put him in. And then you tell the sideline reporter for the network that you didn't like the body language of Thad Lee when he got off the field. Then you have a press conference at the end of the game a post game and you say a different thing. And then Kirby Wilson, the head coach, goes, "Well," he says, "they didn't follow my protocol, so I had to do something about it." And he says, "I'm tired of them making up things. I'm tired of them. They need to play the way they're coached." Well, sometimes, Kirby, in case you and here's a guy, Mark and Smoking Jim, that goes around and brags about how many running backs he's coached and all the Hall of Fame running backs he's coached. Okay, well, you've seen football. You've seen offenses. You mean to tell me you don't want your players to make any of their own decisions if they have to change some kind of game plan to win a football game? That's why they're 1-6, Mark. And then the incident at the beginning of the year with the pizza incident with that DeVeon Smith, okay, that was embarrassing right there. He embarrassed the team, Kirby Wilson, and he embarrassed himself, okay? He's got more egg on his face than he can clean off. All right, he's a terrible head coach. I hope that when the owners of the Maulers in Pittsburgh here, whoever they may be, take over this team, that the first thing they do is fire Kirby Wilson because he's the reason why this team has lost its games.
Wow, what a take. And, Jim, do you want to finish on that? And then I'll throw maybe 2 cents on the fire.
Yeah, I agree with everything Ralph said. You know, Kirby Wilson – has always been, he's never been a head coach. He's 60 years old. It's not easy to be a head coach on any level. And he's pretty much been a running back coach or a wide receiver coach throughout his career. And he's really struggling, wearing the top cap. And I think he will be pretty much one and done. And they'll probably, if the USFL continues next year, I think the Maulers will go in a different direction, somebody with some head coaching experience.
Yeah, why don't you just bring back Mike Rozier and just end this thing? I mean, if we're going to be serious contenders in this thing.
No, Mark. Glenn Carano. He was the original first-starting quarterback.
Yeah.
Bring him back.
You know, we need to get serious here. I mean, the guy was an idiot from the start, you know, saying they couldn't have pizza and everything. And now, when I'm watching the game a little – Sunday a little, I could see the one guy jumping around going, pizza, pizza, pizza. So, I mean, this guy's alienating himself from the team. Come on, man.
I gotta
treat
your
players with respect.
I gotta give it to the fans, man. They really lit Kirby Wilson up the first game. They were all yelling, pizza, pizza, pizza.
Yeah, yeah.
In the stands.
Well, sometimes you bring in a guy that wants to do it, you know, his way and doesn't want to listen, doesn't want to have any, help from the outside, maybe it could be a military background. I don't know. I don't want to speculate, but I thought this thing was a dog and pony show from the start. It's gone downhill. Now the wheels are off the wagon, and I don't know how the Maulers even have a chance to make the playoffs. There's still an outside chance. Yeah, I don't know how many, when you look at it, I mean, you're 1-6. Really, when you get in there at 3-6, what are you going to do? I mean, there's got to be a confidence builder that gets you prepared to start making moves here. I don't see a confidence builder on this. I thought I saw one a little on Sunday when they handled Birmingham for the first half, but they came back out after the locker room and just laid an egg. And this is a team that's just, they're playing towards the end of the season. And, bring in a coach, get somebody in there that can roll this thing up. Meanwhile,
I said this at the beginning of the year, Mark, okay? I said this after the pizza incident. This team's going to quit on Kirby Wilson because they just don't, in this day and age, you can't coach like Herman Boone. Remember Herman Boone which is a true story, of course, in the movie, Remember the Titans, okay? Based on a true story. Remember how he coached? You can't coach like that with players like this. I mean, high school, that's another issue, okay? You can't do that they're somewhat professional. Some of them have been in the NFL. I mean, and things like that. But here's the biggest thing here, Mark. Kevin Sumlin's Houston Gamblers and Michigan Panthers, Jeff Fisher, two coaches that you thought would do well. Both of their teams are 1-6. How do you like that?
Yeah. Well, it looks like Tampa Bay could do some damage here along with Birmingham. We'll find out. But as we switch gears with about 5 minutes and some change left, The Penguins, boy, I'll tell you, when you fail to put a team away, that team stands there and puts you away. Then they put a Carolina team away. Then they win the first game against Tampa. As much as I hate New York, man, the Rangers could be winning the Stanley Cup if they get past Tampa Bay and probably end up playing, you know, Colorado for the Cup. But I will tell you what the Penguins need that they didn't address, and which I thought they should have addressed, guys, and I'll give it to you first, Ralph, and then give it over to Jim. I don't want to take too much time because I want, you know, you guys to get your two cents in before we end the show. But the Penguins failed to realize that they needed a defense and another backup goalie, and they didn't do that. They went into that Rangers series. Boy, did they get lucky holding their own to get that where they got, but they should have finished the job. They didn't. And I don't know what's on the agenda in Pittsburgh. You're there. You see it up close. Are we going to get a defensive help in Pittsburgh? Are we going to get a backup goalie? What's going on in Pittsburgh with the Penguins, Ralph?
Well, they have a new ownership group. No more Lemieux and Ron Burkle to fall back on, these players. They want to win now, Fenway Group. They own the Boston Red Sox. They own some other sports entities, and they're all winners. And they want to win with the Penguins. And they're gonna do what they have to do to win, and if it includes getting rid of key players, that's what they're going to have to do. They have to get younger, they have to get tougher, and they have to get a goalie. They have to get some kind of backup goalie or some kind of goalie to spell off Jari if that's the plan for next year. So we'll see what they do, all right?
Okay, Jim, any thought on that as we wind this thing down? Your take on the Penguins.
Well, I'll tell you what, Mark. It depends on who they keep and how much money they can free up if they get rid of either Malkin or Letang. But I tell you what, I'm excited about this Final Four, the Rangers and the Lightning. You're talking about two of the best goaltenders in the NHL. And how about, you know, Edmonton Oilers with, you know, McDavid? After, you know, he got 29 points so far, you know, in this series. They lost yesterday, but I tell you what, man, with the scores that that Edmonton Oilers have, man, I wouldn't be surprised if they come back and win the next you know, four games.
Well, I'll tell you this, you know, when your team gets knocked out, you kind of just, I don't know, it's kind of like going to the bathroom. You flush it down the drain, and then you look forward to next year. And I don't know how tough it is to sit there and watch these things. I haven't really paid too much attention. I have to, because when you do radio, you got to be on top of these things. But hard to watch some of these games when your team's not in there. And, man, oh, man, it's really tough to watch. But I know exactly what you're saying, Jim. Should be interesting. Maybe it'll be the Rangers. Maybe it'll be Colorado there for the Cup. Who knows? I will tell you this. I think the Celtics will beat the Warriors, and that'll be the worst nightmare for L.A. because then they'll pass them in championships. So L.A. could get a double dose of you know, bad vibes. You got a small market team like the Pirates coming to town and sweeping their ass in their backyard, and then the Celtics winning a championship. Woo, be tough for L.A. to swallow. I don't know if that'd be a Hollywood ending or what, but we
have
to talk about that another day.
Mark,
I know next week's the wrestling show. I'm sorry, Ralph, go on.
I said they might close up L.A. after that if that happens.
Yeah, they might have to do movies and everything somewhere else, maybe Nashville, Atlanta, move it to another city where their taxes aren't as high either. Well, we've come to the close of this great show, and over 300 live listens. We appreciate you more coming in. People are saying the Pirates suck, and long live the Dodgers. We outduel you in attendance and everything. I know. But you also outduel us in going to the game in the sixth inning and leaving in the eighth inning just to beat the traffic. So that'll be a story for another day too, guys. Ralph, as I give it over to you, my good friend, tell everybody how they can reach you.
Yes, RalphWilliams737@gmail.com, Facebook, my Facebook page, and on my YouTube channel as well, Sports Corner and The Way I See It, and also Twitter and Wimpkin. So,
dude is married. He's doing TV. He's in Tampa. He didn't tell you that either, but just to share a little more notes, he's a great guy. He's a brother. He's a mentor and a friend. Love him dearly.
Hey,
Smoking Jim,
hey,
I love you too.
Mark,
I will tell you this. I when I look at you now, I'm going to be looking at you like the Godfather in the WWE. The women are there. The pictures are there. Man, and man, he's hanging with the models in Pittsburgh and all over the place. Tell everybody how they can reach you, my friend, and what's on the agenda.
Hey, thanks, Mark. You can reach me on Instagram at Smoking Jim Frazier or Facebook at Jim Frazier.
Well, I'll tell you, for Ralph Williams, for Jim Smoking Frazier out there in Pittsburgh, yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles. We'll be back on next week, same time, same channel, talking some wrestling. We'll find out what the latest is on that, Money in the Banks and all this other stuff. Till then, catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts. Remember, tomorrow it'll be 10 o'clock in the morning live in Pittsburgh, 347-205-9631. Tarek Brock previews the Diamondbacks and the Bucks. So you don't want to miss that one. And then 11 o'clock your time in Pittsburgh, same phone number. Nice interview, 30 minutes with Mike LaValle to talk about Jimmy Leland, Barry Bonds, and some of the Pirates. So till then, have a blessed one, and thanks for tuning in tonight.
Have a good night. Thank you, and be safe.